promise.
ProFlowRadio.com.
Yeah.
ProFlowRadio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in the audio.
You are now tuned into the Pro Flow for Show Show, internationally syndicated, act like you know, with your host, Mr. Mad Max. Pro Flow for Show, www.maxi.com.
Pro Flow for Show Show, wireless phone interview feature presentation.
Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show.
Check this out.
It's the man from 2063.com, and the book is available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. So
this call is now being recorded.
Okay, Mr. Duffy, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk with you. There's a lot of things that I wanted to cover with you because you have such a polished background from the audience that I normally have. You know, we have a different eclectic audience, a different individuals that are out here in the world doing different things, whether it's authorship or whether it's musicianship or whether it's just, you know, motivational speaking or whether it's a lot of different individuals, particular things. But, Mr. Duffy, if you didn't mind giving my audience just a brief description of where you're from, maybe, and what you do on a regular basis, because the lawyer thing is definitely impressive to us.
Okay, sure. Well, I was born and raised in Texas. I've lived in Fort Worth most of my life. I'm a trial lawyer here in Fort Worth, specialize in personal injury and criminal defense work. I've been studying the Kennedy assassination probably since around 1970, for the last 40-some-odd years, and that's what inspired me to write this book, The Man from 2063.
The Man from 2063. Now, that's a very interesting title. What, if you don't mind, how did you come up with that title?
Well, it's based on a time travel scenario. The book starts out in the future in the year 2063 when the truth about who killed JFK comes out. Now, I don't know if that blows your
mind. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
In the book, though, that's how the book starts out. And the hero of the book is a lawyer in Washington, D.C., who finds out that there was a conspiracy to kill the president. And he is upset about the fact that the conspiracy got away and never got prosecuted. And turns out there's a time machine that's been developed in the future, and he, long story short, he ends up going back in a time machine, and he changes history at the end. I don't want to give away the whole book, but he basically, you know, prevents the assassination, and there's a conspiracy in the book that is behind the assassination, like 80% of the country believes anyway.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, I was younger when it was going on, but, you know, when I was coming up, there were a lot of those movies that were going around, you know, Costner and... you know, a couple of the other different particular, you know, popular movies that were actually out. So, but you were able to come up with some information to basically do the same thing, except a book, in a way. You know, I'm kind of fascinated just with the whole idea of you being an author. If we can just go ahead and briefly, you know, just kind of give my background, my audience a background. You know, what gave you the courage to go ahead and do this, you know?
Well, I always wanted to write a book about the JFK assassination because I've been studying it for so long. And, of course, there's been so many books written about it over the years. It's probably the most written about a historical event probably of all time. I think there's a lot over like 2,000 books that have been written on the Kennedy assassination. So
wow.
I figured, well, if I'm going to write a book about this, I don't want to repeat what's already been done by, you know,
right,
people. So rather than just repeat the same stuff over in a nonfiction book, I thought, why not combine nonfiction with fiction and turn it into a time travel thing? Stephen King kind of stole my thunder a little bit. He wrote a book a year ago about a time travel situation with Kennedy. So
really?
He wrote a book called 11-22-63. I'd already written my book when I heard about what he was doing, so I didn't like steal his idea, but we just happened to write about the same thing. His book's totally different from mine, though. But my book deals with a conspiracy, and I put a lot of hard evidence in the book mixed in with fictional people to support what I think really happened to JFK in Dallas. So that's what gave me the idea to do it.
Well, that's awesome. Now, like, the JFK situation was a real live experience, of course. You know, there's a lot of different particular aspects that people have, you know, loved over the years. But what's one of the best parts of your book that you've written that stands out to you?
Well, the conspiracy part of it is what I wanted to emphasize in my book, because I do believe there was a conspiracy that killed John F. Kennedy. There's so much evidence that points to a conspiracy that you really have to ignore everything for there not to be a conspiracy. Later, if you want to go into more detail about the evidence, I'll be glad to do that for you. But
yes,
the book is based on most of my research that I came up with, and I just combined it with fictional characters playing out the roles of the book with the actual the actual plot surrounds, you know, what I think actually did happen to President Kennedy.
That's awesome. So basically, let's start from the beginning, because the JFK, he's from a very prominent family. I believe, what was his father doing before JFK even got started into...
Well, his father was a businessman and a bootlegger. He imported whiskey during the Prohibition and got wealthy off of it. He was a stockbroker also, and just a businessman, a very successful businessman. But he was mixed up with elements of organized crime and did business with mafia people.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, you know, he was a very successful millionaire that, you know, made a lot of money before JFK became president.
Yeah, that's the truth. I think a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, where his family came from and how he just jumped on the scene as a politician. Now, was JFK a seasoned politician, or was he like kind of new at the game? I'm not really sure myself, actually.
Well, John F. Kennedy was a senator from Massachusetts before he became president. He was in Congress, and then he was a senator, and then he ran for president in 1960 and got elected. So he'd been in politics for quite a while before he became president, like most presidents are.
Okay, so in your opinion, was JFK serious about politics, or was he just caught in the sauce?
Well, I think his father was kind of pushed him into politics. His father always wanted him to be president. He actually wanted his oldest son to be president, Joe Jr., but he got killed in World War II, so that left JFK to kind of pick up the torch and carry it on. And then, of course, after he was killed, and Robert Kennedy ran and tried to become president, and he got assassinated also. So the Kennedys were always interested in being, you know, being in public service.
Is that a different story, his brother's situation?
Yeah, the RFK assassination is a whole different situation. I haven't studied it nearly like I have JFK, but both brothers did get killed.
Definitely. Now, just because I kind of, you know, with you knowing so much about the situation, I just have this urge to ask you, what have you learned from the actual, you know, process of, you know, researching the information and publishing it? What's one of the things that you've learned?
Well, I've learned
just
a lot.
In general.
I've studied this thing for quite a long time, and based on what I've come up with and what I've studied, I believe without any doubt that there was a conspiracy to kill the president, and I believe there was more than one gunman involved in the shooting for a lot of reasons. To start with, the doctors in Dallas that treated the president, virtually almost every single doctor in Dallas said that the back of the president's head was blown out by a bullet that had come in from the front, and that's the shot that killed him. So if these doctors are correct, and you know they were all saying this, then the shot that killed the president didn't come from Lee Harvey Oswald. It came from in front of the motorcade, like 50 eyewitnesses said it did.
Yeah, because I remember even with my knowledge of and being younger, I remember that there was the grassy knoll. I remember there was a few different other spots, and then there were so many tests over time to have, proved the speed of the shots and the possibility of actually being something different than what they told us. And that long book of evidence that was called the Warren Commission, I believe.
The Warren Commission.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really. I don't understand, but I guess I'm not really sure. Not, like, with your book, does it get into a reason? How did the fans close the chapter once they get finished with your book? How are they left in a way, if you don't mind?
Oh, when they finish the book?
Yes.
Well, I hope that when they finish it, they'll be thinking that there was a conspiracy to kill the president, because that's what my book puts down or espouses.
Yes.
Of course, there's a lot of people out there who don't believe there was a conspiracy, but they're in the minority.
Very much so.
So much evidence that points to other shooters. Like I mentioned, not only did the doctors say that, but there are over 50 eyewitnesses, a lot of whom I've talked to, who were standing there when the president was killed, and they saw the shot come off the grass, you know, and heard the shot and ran up there to try to catch the guy. A policeman ran up there right after the shots were fired and smelled gunpowder in the air behind the fence. He also accosted a man who was dressed as a Secret Service agent, who said he was a Secret Service agent, but it turns out all the legitimate Secret Service agents went to Parkland Hospital with President Kennedy. None of them stayed back in the Dealey Plaza area, so whoever that man was behind the fence, he wasn't a real Secret Service agent.
Now, with the information that you gathered over the years, do you think there's a greater experience, ultimate cover-up, or is there just a general cover-up?
I think there was a cover-up. I think the Warren Commission covered it up. I hate to accuse high-level, prestigious Americans.
Politics, you deserve it.
Of course, Watergate was a cover-up, and before Watergate, nobody could really question our government or had any reason to disbelieve anything our government said. But once Watergate happened, then we realized that our government doesn't always tell us the truth. And I hate to say it, but I think the Warren Commission covered this thing up for whatever reason, maybe for what they thought was the good of the country at the time. But I believe.
How about yourself, with you being an individual who has facts and knowledge about the information that has changed the world and the lives of many individuals, and people are still pushing to have the truth put to the forefront. Do you receive a bad response even to this day, or how does it work for you?
Well, I haven't gotten any negative responses from anybody so far, but I'm sure I will if I get on TV shows or whatever and debate people. I'd like to talk a little more about the hard evidence that points to a conspiracy that the book is based on. Besides just the witnesses and the doctors, you have the film of Kennedy being shot, which shows him going back into the left when he's hit in the head, and that is that is in direct correlation to a bullet coming from the right front, and of course, the part of the president's brain matter and skull went on the trunk of the car,
I've seen the movies, I've seen the History Channel, I've seen all those different things. I mean, when you hear JFK on the, JFK for a black man, a white man that knew how to live the way we wanted to live, in a way. So, my mother expressed her mother's remorse when he was shot, and she's seen it in the news, and so I'm here with you today years later only because of those emotions that were passed down by the family tradition and generations, I'm just like, wow, it's amazing that you were able to step up, talk about these different individual issues.
Yeah.
What I would like to do is ask you just a couple more questions, maybe, about the particular book that you have in order. I would like to know exactly, what is it to you that if anybody missed what they wanted to get over to the audience, what would you want them to know about this book and your production of this book?
Well, I would like for them to know that the book is an entertaining story. A lot of it is fiction, but a lot of it's not. It's a combination of both, fact and fiction. And I would hope that people would like to read it for the entertainment value, and also because it does inform and does have a lot of real evidence in the book mixed in with the fictional story. So when they read this, it's not like they're reading something that's totally made up. A lot of what's in there is not made up. A lot of it's based on research and what really did happen.
Okay, I'm sorry for the delay there. Now, I also wanted to ask, because I do have some individuals that...
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Okay. I have some individuals that are listening that will be hearing this on a more regular basis, because this is going to be a pre-recorded interview that I can edit and add to our, basically our faculty. But I want them to know what it took for you to become a lawyer, period,
Well, it's interesting. I was a student at Texas Tech University, and while I was there studying one day, Vincent Bugliosi, who is a very well-known attorney who prosecuted Charles Manson in California, was a speaker or came to our campus to speak on the Manson case, and I got to meet Vince. We talked quite a while, and Vince got me interested in being a lawyer because of his career, and that's what sort of got me interested in doing it. And then, of course, I ended up going to law school and becoming a lawyer, and Vince and I are still good friends to this day. And, of course, he's a great lawyer. He's one of the best lawyers in the country. We just kind of disagree on the Kennedy case. He wrote a book recently that he believes Oswald, killed Kennedy by himself. I just don't totally agree with that. So, but we're still friends, and that's what got me interested in being a lawyer was meeting him.
So my other question would be, what advice would you have, of course, to anyone trying to overcome the obstacles that seem to be there, whether it's as deep as JFK or as deep as, or as shallow as just maybe, going through school?
Well, I would tell anybody who has a goal that they're trying to achieve just to not give up on it, no matter how hard it is. And if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to achieve it. And that's kind of been the way I've lived my life. Whenever I've wanted to do something, it may have been difficult to do, but I usually stuck to it long enough to see it through to its conclusion. That's just with anything. Anytime you want to accomplish anything, you have to work at it. So I would just tell people out there who want to write a book or who want to go to school or whatever they're trying to accomplish in their life to not give up and just keep at it, and you'll eventually succeed.
So with you accomplishing, do you see that, do you realize that you do maybe a little more accomplished than other individuals out here? Is that something that you... Because some people will look at us and look at our differences, and I'm not sure, you may not know my differences between you, but I know that for sure that you've accomplished, at least in school-wise, and dedicating yourself to a goal of education and, and bettering yourself, that you've accomplished things that other individuals will never see, and maybe you're always on the other side of. What advice do you have to individuals that may never be like you?
I would tell them, it's not like they don't need to be like me necessarily. You can be successful and not have, a college degree or an advanced degree necessarily. There's many successful people out there who are multimillionaires who never went to college. So, everybody's different. Everybody has different abilities, different gifts, different talents. I would just tell people just to find out what your talents are and use them to the maximum. And that's what I've tried to do in my life. I've been very fortunate that I have been able to accomplish a lot in the academic world, but I don't particularly like just going to school. I just did it to help so I can make a better living and have a better life.
Right.
Writing a book was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It was much harder than law school in a way because writing is not easy, at least for me. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of dedication to see it through to its conclusion.
Is there anything else that you would like to say in relation to the audience and Ferry about?
I would like to tell people the website about my book where they can go read more about it.
Yes, for sure.
It's themanfrom2063.com, and the book is available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. So I hope that they'll be interested to want to read the book and look at it, and I think they'll enjoy it if they do read it. I think it has a lot of information in it that was entertaining and also informative. And I know a lot of people don't know a whole lot about the Kennedy assassination, especially younger people, because it was 50 years ago. But I think if they read my book, they'll be educated a lot on at least a lot of the evidence that points to a conspiracy.
Yeah, I think with the way the world is going, it'd be nice for them to realize that they're not just going crazy and that things are the way they are. So they realize about the man from 2063, they would definitely get a picture of the real life, before it went crazy.
So the Kennedy assassination was a major event in our history. It was kind of like 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Everybody remembers where they were when they heard about it.
Yeah, JFK assassination, they probably would never forget about that. That was pretty obvious and pretty blatant, so it's unfortunate it had to happen that way, but
if you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, Check us out, www.macd.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Float Radio.